You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
I'm Shea Pataja, and I'm here for the stats and laughs.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome to New Retirement Radio on WTCM with Prout Financial Design, P-R-O-U-T, Prout Financial Design in Traverse City, Michigan, starring Dennis Prout, who's not here today, joining us today in the studio from Prout Financial Design, Heidi Cartwright. Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning, Ron. It's good to be here.
RISPC, what are your titles there?
RICP.
RICP.
Retirement Income Certified Professional.
There we go. Among other than financial planner.
That is correct.
Office manager.
I manage the office as well. Yep. An
all around great person.
Well, I'm a little biased.
I will.
I'll leave that to Shay.
Yes, I agree with you, Ron. She is an overall a great person.
Shay Pataja is here. Shay is the chief experience officer of Prout Financial Design.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
So we are excited to be here today. Heidi and I are going to teach you about taxes and transitions. So what does it look like in retirement to look at all of your accounts, figure out how they're taxed, how to withdraw from each of them, and what strategies should you use? And that is what Heidi is going to talk about today. But first, Heidi, how's family time going?
Family time is awesome. We've been enjoying a long lake this week and having a lot of fun out on the water and with friends and family.
Yep, so, that's what good. This week is for. Our whole family's in town. We're at the Pataja Farm. We had the Farms Got Talent, the talent show, of course, I hosted. So everyone participated. Well, mostly everyone participated.
Who won?
Was it humans only? And the
No, we actually had Todd Wara is my uncle. So Todd and Jeanette did dog tricks with their dog.
Okay.
So that was their part of the talent show. My dad did sound effects.
Not
they were actually
flipping.
Really good. He also flipped a cake.
There you go.
And my niece did a solo harmonica.
Impressive.
Yes. So we all did a little bit of something, and it was really fun.
Sounds like fun.
But it's good to be, as much as the fun is fun, it's also good to be back in the routine of work. So glad to be here. Cherry Festival week had awesome. I went out on the water and watched the Blue Angels. It was pretty crazy.
The Blue Angels were amazing. I saw a lot of them when I was stuck in traffic on South Airport Road. But I wasn't bored. They were doing the flips and the turns. And it was great.
I was at Mundo's getting coffee, and they were there. And so
the Blue Angels were in there.
They were there getting
did they have their jumpsuits on?
Yes, they were.
Wow.
Yes. So I walked up to them and I said, "Excuse me, are you the boys flying over my house every day?" And they all looked at me like they were in trouble. And I said, no. It's good. It's usually the Coast Guard. So this is a change. Oh, I live by the airport. So anyway, it's a fun week. I think it's exciting. And it's hard to believe that we're already in. It's July 7th. How's that possible? Oh, summer. It slips away so fast. So Heidi.
Yes.
You and Dennis specialize, I believe, in retirement income strategies, which most people say, well, retirement planning, yes. But once you get to the part of being retired, you need to plan how you're going to withdraw money and what is the most efficient, tax efficient, what makes the most sense based on where you have saved and what accounts you've saved them in, and then your life circumstances, and then including also your partner. So married or not married, how are the two of you planning to use the money and what do you want the money to do for you?
Right. I mean, it's really important because Tax strategy is another layer in the planning process because we want you to be able to keep as much of your money as you can and not have to turn it over to the government. So that's where tax strategy comes in, trying to be the most efficient so you can keep the most of what you have.
And this is what Ed Slott says over Roth. And over and over the not so subliminal message of Roth IRAs. Although we're not specializing that today, you're going to give them a big picture overview of what tax deferred accounts are, tax free accounts are, and then taxable investment accounts, also known as non qualified.
Right. And so this is all information that Shay and I worked on and developed a class out of this material. So we thought we'd give you a little sampling. And to start out, let's go over a few of the ground rules. And we're talking about tax implication on accounts, just one piece of the full puzzle. But there's three basic types of accounts out there. We have a tax deferred account. In that situation, the funds are taxed when the money is withdrawn or taken out of the account. So an example of this would be an IRA, an individual retirement account. Those traditional accounts are taxed as income when any distributions are made. Also, there are employer-sponsored plans, your 401k, 457, simple plans, SEP plans. All those employer plans may fit into this category as well. And then there's a third kind, there's annuities. Now, annuities are a certain product, and it's the product itself that is tax deferred. So that's sort of unique compared to the other two types I've given you examples of. So annuities are a tax deferred product. Then we move on to our second category, which is our tax-free accounts, which seem to be my favorite. and this is where your distributions are not taxed when you take money out of these accounts, okay? So this is a tax-free account. And what are the things that are tax-free accounts? Where there's Roth IRAs, Roth 401ks, 403bs, any Roth type of account. That's where you make your contributions with after-tax dollars, and that's why it's not taxed when it's distributed. There's also HSAs, which are tax-free, or health savings accounts. Health savings accounts are unique in themselves. It's awesome because the money is not taxed when you contribute it, and it's not taxed when you take it out. So you actually get to use that full dollar that you've saved as long as you use those distributions for health-related expenses. So health savings accounts are a unique account that many people, if you have that available to you through your employer health plan, you might want to take a closer look at that because it's a very efficient account that way. And then another type of tax-free account would be your 529 account. These are education accounts. These are the accounts that you may set up for your children or your grandchildren or niece or nephew, and you build up funds in that account when they're taken out. If they are used to pay for educational related expenses, then there's no tax on that distribution as well. So that's our second category. So we have tax deferred, tax-free, and then we have taxable investment accounts. We call this in the business non-qualified accounts. It sounds fancy, but to me, in my mind, I'm saying, oh, that's a regular account. Mm-hmm. A regular account, sort of like your checking and savings account at the bank, would be non-qualified. And non-qualified accounts, when you take money out, you may have to pay tax on the gain, the capital gain, or you may incur taxable income on an annual basis. So those are some of the different types of accounts, excuse me, that we use to design that portfolio. And we start thinking about where are we going to pull money when we're going to take retirement funds out.
All right, so knowing all of these things, there's some great benefits to having this information. And what are the benefits, Heidi?
Okay, there are benefits. And if you have all three types of money, our tax deferred, our tax free, and our non-qualified. Well, that gives you a little bit of a leg up on things if you have all three, because it gives you the flexibility of where you're going to draw income. Maybe you have certain conditions that happen in your life that year. You have lots of medical expenses or some other things that may affect your taxes. So you can offset some of those implications by changing where you're taking money out of. It can also help your portfolio last longer if you have these three, because you can use strategy. If you only have one source of money, if your only savings, say, is in your retirement plan at work, and it's all in traditional money, you don't have that flexibility because everything you take out will be taxed as income. So being able to switch where you're taking money from, it could, in situations, help you extend the life of that portfolio because you can react.
We have a question in the back. Ron
Yes.
Jolly.
Yes. So in all those accounts you listed, I didn't hear anything about Social Security account or a pension account. Where would those fall?
Well,
you have a Social Security account, right?
So that we're talking in accounts that you have in your name, that you have saved the money.
Oh.
Now, your pension is a benefit that you get from your employer through years of service, yeah. And so that's paid to you. So depending, that could be on what state you're in and what kind of income you're receiving from these programs. Social Security has its own rules. So today we're not really focusing on that.
I'm irrelevant, is what she's saying, I think.
No, that's important. Okay. I think it's an important consideration, but that's sort of outside the scope of what we're looking at here. And final benefit.
No, that's a great, hold up, Ron. That's a really great, valid question.
Yes,
because
it's
hard to remember all the puzzle pieces, and people are like, but wait, what about this? What about this? And we even have clients who will call and say, oh my gosh, I forgot I had this account. I worked for these people in my 30s, and they just notified me I still had my, so things pop up and people want to know, how do I put this all together and make it work? So very valid question.
And those income sources, Ron, we would definitely take that in consideration when we're looking at the kinds of accounts where you have money. And if you need to supplement that income with a withdrawal from your savings, that's where we'd say, okay, how much do you have coming from these other sources? So which account do we want to supplement that income with?
But Social Security is taxed, right?
It is not fully. There's three different layers for Social Security.
We don't need to go into all, but I just wanted to say that. And then the pension plans, you said, varies from state to state.
Yeah, it could. Yep.
All right.
Mm. All right. Mm-hmm. And then the other benefit, I would say one final benefit, is I think we've all realized that we're sort of looking at the chessboard of taxes, and someone makes the rules, and that would be the government. And they are allowed to change the rules whenever they pass new legislation. So the game is always changing on you. So if you have three different types of money, then you can change your strategy when the government changes its tax law. So the flexibility is one of the biggest benefits by having the three different types of money. So,
yeah, I mean, knowing that you're working hard, you're saving hard, and knowing that the rules can change, inflation can change, you've got to be able to pivot and navigate, and that's why it's helpful to have an advisor.
That's right, and that's why you want to tell them about all the different kinds of accounts and sources of funds that you have so that you can get the best result.
I love it. All right, well, hey, let's head into a break, and when we come back, let's talk about asset location. We'll briefly go over that, and then how do you come up with a distribution strategy, and that'll also be interesting, Heidi.
Yes.
Heidi, what is the distribution strategy, and how do you implement a tax-efficient withdrawal strategy in retirement?
Oh, that sounds like a lot, Shay. And so I'm going to tell you about a couple of principles that we look at as we start thinking about this. But first, I want to say to everyone, your individual situation is unique. What I am giving is general guidance as a general way that we look at things. Now, you may have something in your personal situation which may make some of these strategies not work for you or not be the most appropriate, and that would be a good reason to go in and check with a financial advisor. So remember, we're just talking in general ideas. So taxable accounts, the first principle, taxable accounts are taxed more heavily than tax-deferred accounts and tax-exempt accounts. And sort of an example I can give you for this is, let's say you have a 5% bond, and the person who holds this, or my client, is in a 24% tax bracket. Well, the client will get a 3.8 after-tax return holding the bond in a taxable account versus holding it in a Roth or an IRA, where they get the full 5% return because of the tax-free or tax deferral status. And that comes into play because of compounding. So taking out taxable money first may add longevity to your portfolio because you have that compounding going on in those other types of accounts. So conventional wisdom, or some of the theory, is to preserve your tax-deferred assets for as long as possible, and money should be taken from the accounts. And this is a general order, remember. Now, your situation may be different, but usually we look at taxable accounts first, or those non-qualified, non-qualified annuities, and then we would look to your tax-deferred or your IRA accounts, and then usually the last money that you tap is your Roth money, because that is not taxing. As you build gain over the longevity of the account, that's where you get the most value from having it in that tax-free account. So usually you will end up seeing more of your more aggressive or long-term assets in that Roth account, ones that maybe have more risk involved in them because you're looking for that long-term growth. Okay, so moving on, let's go to our second principle. Our second principle is that the government owns part of the principal. For every dollar withdrawn, the government receives a percentage equal to whatever tax rate goes for that type of money. So when you're taking distributions, you have to keep in mind, oh, I want $500 a month. Well, if you're going to have taxes taken out of it, it's not going to be $500. So those sort of situations come into the strategy as well. So let's talk about tax strategies, Shay. How about that?
Yes.
All right. So let's maximize our tax brackets. Something to look at is, what is your tax bracket? Are you in the 12% bracket, the 22% bracket? And where are you in that bracket? Do you have a lot of room to make some strategy moves or not? The 12% bracket especially is a very low tax rate, that if you are in the 12% bracket, you should definitely be looking at things that help you maximize that full bracket, that space in there.
And Heidi, to interrupt real quick, is that when people receive an inheritance, an unexpected inheritance, and in some cases a double inheritance, this can bump them into a higher tax bracket. And this is what people panic about a little bit, because with the Secure Act and all the rules changing, how do people navigate that?
Well, it does, and it can get pretty complicated, because you could be in the 12% bracket, but maybe you inherit something, and if you sell it, you could generate capital gains tax. Or if you inherit a large IRA and you have to, I mean, some people inherit IRAs, hundreds of thousands of dollars, you only have 10 years to get that money out. Even just doing it an average, you know, taking a tenth every year, that could bump you up in tax brackets. So that's something that you definitely want to work with your accountant or work with your financial advisor on. How am I going to get the money out where I get to keep as much as possible, type thing? And then there's also Roth conversions. We've talked about that a lot on the show here. It helps manage future liabilities, because if you are taking money from a traditional IRA and you move it to a Roth IRA, you pay the tax in the year that you convert it. Well, But down the line, when you take money out of that account, you won't have to have taxes on that withdrawal. So Roth conversions can be a strategic tool for you to manage future year liabilities.
So we have a text question for Heidi. I am 37 and recently received Social Security disability. I receive $2,100 a month and two dependents receive $500 each. Total $3,100 monthly. Do I need to pay taxes? I currently am withholding two withhold. I'm single head of household. So
that would be more of a CPA question, okay. I would say, than a financial advisor question. But it all depends on other sources. If you have other sources of income, as to how much that would be taxed, if it's taxed at all. So.
That's it. Distinction that, because some people see a financial planner, a financial show that encompasses everything, but it really is some lawyer. Some questions are due for lawyers, some are for accountants, some for planners, financial planners.
Or going directly to the Social Security office where they will give you your options but not advice.
Yeah.
Right. So. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
Where did we leave off?
We left off. We just talked about Roth conversions.
That's right.
So we're moving on to another instrument you can use in tax strategies, which is the qualified charitable distribution. QCDs is their acronym. And this is when you want to give money to charity and you take money that is in your current traditional IRA and you have it sent directly to the charity. The benefit to you in this situation is that that money that you withdraw from your IRA is not going to be counted as income for you. So there's no income tax implication for you. The charity gets the funds. They don't pay income tax. So your full $100, say you wanted to give $100 to your church, and you take that money out of your IRA. If you put it in your own checking account and then write a check to the church, well, now you're down to, you know, maybe $80 instead of that $100, and then you give that to the church. Versus a QCD, if you're over the age of 70 and a half, you can take that money and give it directly to the church, and that $100 would go to them. So it's sort of a win-win. You don't have to pay tax on that money that has a tax liability, and the charity might get more money because there's no tax in that transaction. So that's available to people over 70 and a half. And if you're giving anyway already, this is the most tax efficient way for you to give once you're mm-hmm. over that age of 70 and a half.
And quite a few of our clients have a giving plan that's pretty impressive.
It
this is.
Is
something that they get very excited about.
Yep. And it's a nice thing that you are able to do. It gives you a benefit and the charity a benefit. So looking at special events or special taxable or circumstances in a given year. Again, like we talked about earlier, maybe you had a medical procedure done in a certain year and you're able to take medical expenses off your taxes. You might want to offset that with a capital gain or some other type of tax treatment. So looking at things that happen to you, maybe unusual in a certain year, maybe you sell something at a loss or you sell something at a gain, you want to look at what else can I do in my portfolio to take advantage of the situation to sort of get a zero impact,
mm-hmm.
get close to that anyway. Another tax strategy is if you have assets that have an substantial capital gain. So this could be maybe you bought stock when you were back in your 20s and now you're in your 70s or 80s and that stock has had a great appreciation. That might be something you want to pass to the next generation because they get a step up in basis where they wouldn't have the appreciation there. So they would pay less capital gains tax. So that's just something when you're sitting down with a financial advisor or your CPA, you might want to think about designating certain assets to be passed on as the legacy and you using less impactful distributions, impactful to your tax situation. So that could be another thing to look at. You also want to think about if you have significant assets in your IRA or in your company plan. And remember, we talked about if you roll those over from a company plan to an IRA or have a large IRA and you inherit that, we talked about that a little bit, you have 10 years to take that money out. So that can be something that you're concerned about passing that on. So maybe you start using those types of funds earlier and maybe delaying your Social Security. Lower that 401k or IRA balance in the near term, knowing your Social Security is growing and depending on that more in the future, and also lowering those traditional balances for inheritances and also for your own lifetime income. Because if you remember, when you turn 72, any traditional money you have those RMDs, those required minimum distributions, and that's based on the balances. So it's tapping those balances earlier, delaying Social Security. It doesn't work for everybody. It doesn't work in every circumstance, but that is something to think about when you're making these plans and doing that financial plan.
Oh, man.
So complicated.
So many things to think about.
So many options. Yeah. Paths to go down.
Options are good. Options are good.
It's like when I walk in the woods, I say, I wonder where that path goes. And then another one, I wonder where that goes. And before long, I'm lost.
But where you are lost is someone else's home, right?
I need a guide.
So they know where to go.
So I have one more little tip here for you. Think about large withdrawals. Say you need to put a new roof on or something and it's $30,000 or something. You're like, I'm going to take that out of my IRA. Maybe you take half of it out in December and half of it out in January, splitting that distribution over two tax years, keeping in mind those tax brackets. So knowing that you have an expense coming up, planning for it maybe a little bit in advance can help you avoid that huge tax bill that might be part of that distribution. So those are just things that we talk about and we think about when we're looking at taking money out of retirement accounts and some of the tax strategies we discuss.
Awesome information, Heidi, and you're such a great teacher.
Well, I'm sure it was fascinating.
You know you're going to get questions on Sunday, so.
Yes, indeed.
That's great. All right, well, we're going to take a break, and we come back. We're going to talk about transitioning into retirement, and then what do you do once you're there?
You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner, Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
I'm Shay Pataja, and I put the fin in financial. No, really, I'm Finnish. And it's pronounced sauna, not sauna.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management, Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome back to New Retirement Radio on WTCM News Talk 580. It is 16 before the top of the hour. Shay Pataj is in, Chief Experience Officer for Prout Financial Design, and Heidi Cartwright is in. Heidi, I lost the page, Heidi, with all your
RICP.
Retirement
Income
Certified Specialist.
Professional.
Well, whatever.
Specialist profession.
No, you say potato, I say
those
potato.
That's a new. You just got that like a year ago or so, didn't you?
That is correct.
Lots of testing.
It was three tests over 18 months. And
ooh.
So yeah, I was so always studying it.
She was. Hey, Heidi, you want to go grab dinner? No, I got to study. Hey, Heidi, you want to? No. All right, let's talk about what does it look like to transition into retirement and how does Shay know about this? Well, I've been with Prout 15 years. I hear the stories every day and every week. And also I'm a certified life coach and a few of my clients have either hired me to help them transition into retirement or once they're there, they are trying to figure out, okay, I did the fun part. I did the
5 to 7 years of travel, fun, excitement, but what am I going to do with the rest of it? So that was a surprise to me to have people approach me about that. Like, you know, I feel good. My body is still in good shape. But what do I do now that that phase of retirement has peaked? So I just want to talk to you a little bit about that. And there's 5 things to think about when you're transitioning, whether you're retired, going to be retired, or in retirement. First, it's acknowledging your superpowers and your blind spots. We're not going to go through that on the radio because we don't have time and this is more of a workshop. But something that I tell people to do is look back on your past and when did you do really great at transitions, whether you transitioned from a job, maybe in or out of a relationship, transitioned your children through different phases of their life, transitioned careers. You've done a lot of transitions, so go through them, look back and say, man, what did I do really well? The other thing to look at is, what did I miss? So where were my blind spots and where did it kind of backfire a little bit? And I didn't do so great and I should have reached out to certain people. I should have slowed down on the decision or sped up and navigate and look at those blind spots, because moving forward, you're going to use your superpowers. You're going to be aware of your blind spots so that you can transition more easily.
So Shay, like if you're assuming things, I look back on some of mine and I assume things worked a certain way, or mm-hmm. I assume something would automatically happen. That mm-hmm. would be a blind spot, right?
Yes. Okay. Because you thought you had it mm-hmm. and turns out you didn't, because you were missing some key information.
Yes.
So that's something to keep in mind. Next is to think about your social connections. The retirees that do better in retirement have larger social networks, and they are very intentional about their social life. Those that struggle tend to be those that isolate. So think about your social connections. 3, it's thinking about your emotions. We are emotional beings. Mm-hmm. hate to tell you that, but I think we know that based on, especially now, the news and how emotional it makes us. But how do you manage the emotions around the changes in your life? How do you create a new normal? And then, of course, finances. So those are the 5 things that we go into in the workshop.
Wait but a minute. I've only got 3.
I did superpowers and blind spots.
That's 1.
Social connections is 2.
2.
3 is emotions.
Yep.
4 is creating a new normal.
Oh, that was just, you just glossed right over
I'm
that.
I'm sorry, okay. Yeah. And then 5 is finances.
You lost him there on number 4.
The one that's the hardest, okay. And that's the one we're going to focus on today, actually, Ron. So sorry. We're not going to gloss over it, and we're gonna dive deep into that one. But here's some Shay stats for you, and I got these from a really great book called The Retirement Reinvention, and this is by Robin Ryan. Great book. She goes very deep into multiple topics, and if you want to read it, great read. I pull a lot of resources from her. All right, the first is that the average person works 11,000 days in their career. After retirement, you will have 9,000 days. It's a lot to think about. This might be also the direct connection to why 40% of retirees suffer from depression. Here's why. Because many people are afraid of going from too much freedom and not enough purpose. So they've got the first 5 years that they're very excited about retirement. Oh, I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to golf every day. We're going to travel. And they've got those 5 to 7 years really jam-packed full of activities. But as we know, health things happen by incident, not by age. So that's something to consider. The next part of it is that most of our clients, if they have a financial planner, they've been very thoughtful about things for a long time. So they are natural planners and they've planned for a lot of these incidents. Do you have a question, Ron?
No.
You look like you're pausing. Okay.
My forehead's peeling and I'm just itching my forehead. Sunburn.
Deep thoughts by Ron, or is this sunburn peeling? Oh, that's funny. AgeWave and Edward Jones came out with a recent study, and it said that 76% of Americans credit the pandemic with helping them refocus on what's most important in life. And we've all seen this, even within myself and those around me. And I thought this was also very interesting. Despite the disproportionate health risk of the virus on retirees, they reported greater optimism, with 61% reporting that the pandemic gave them more appreciation for what makes a meaningful life. It goes on to say that 53% of them now have greater empathy and compassion for people who are struggling in ways they are not. So if we're looking for silver linings, I think that there is a few. We're going to hop over to creating a new normal. So this is one that even if you're excited about it, it's fun to have strategy behind. And even if you're lost, it's great to have some strategy behind it. Because what is, I always say, the opposite of anxiety is action. So if you're feeling anxious about it or excitement, put some strategy to it, and that will make you feel a lot strong. You'll feel like you have a stronger position going into retirement. One thing she mentions in the book is creating a bridge career. So for those of you who really love what you do and you are not ready to totally punch the last clock and be done, it's talking to your employer about creating a bridge career. So that's something where you say, hey, I know you need my expertise. I know you're having a hard time filling these positions right now. What if I worked part-time, we narrowed my position down to these three things I'm very good at, and I will do that 3 days a week and ease my way into retirement and ease and train and mentor the people you're bringing in. This allows you a period of time where you get to still collect income, right, but you get to practice all the things that you think you want to do in retirement, and your spouse gets used to having you home a little bit more.
Right.
So this is the other dynamic, right, is that when people retirement, if they go into retirement and it's a hard stop, suddenly their spouse is like, hey, I really didn't want you around this much.
I'm not used to this.
This is not, we have to create our plan here for you being around. So this lets everybody kind of ease into it and practice it. I had a friend say, you know, I thought I wanted to be a painter in retirement. So I took a week off of work and I painted the whole week and I hated it. I don't want to be a painter in retirement. And so I say, do that. Practice the thing that you think you want to do.
And that's good to know, because if that was the plan and then you hate it, it's like,
what now?
But she had time to find a new dream.
Yes, use those vacation days to practice retirement. Another thing that people have a hard time is replacing the question, so what do you do now? And people dislike answering, well, I'm retired. So they went from being a CFO, a CEO, pretty high-level positions where they had a lot of influence and power and
prestige.
Yeah. And people were reaching out to them constantly for their expertise, and then that evaporates. And the answer then becomes, well, I'm retired. And everyone has an immediate picture of you sitting on the beach drinking pina coladas, yes, right? And while we would love for that to be true, I tell everyone retirement is my dream job. What picture can you paint for yourself instead? And I help people answer that question. You know, I was a CEO for this company. I did blah, blah, blah. And now I'm retired and I'm volunteering with this organization. I'm doing this. I've created this. And so here's some ideas to help you get the juices flowing. Have you tried gardening? Is that something you've always wanted to do? Do you want to actually sell the house, not maintain anything, own a condo so that you can travel and not worry about everything back home? Do you want to pick up sewing? We had Sally Mankey on the air, who became an accidental overnight hit in the sewing world. She does textile art.
Oh, yeah.
We've got her show on our iTunes, and that was like an accidental success. Yeah. And that is what she's doing in her retirement, and it's amazing. My neighbor Carl, he invites me to play pickleball every week, and I have to remind him I have a job and I can't go at 9:30 to meet the guys for pickleball, but I would love to play pickleball. It's fun. Book clubs, Heidi.
Yes.
Your sister started a big book club, and you're, yep, a part of that. Mentoring. We've got big brothers, big sisters. We have so many opportunities for you to give back. I also see the 20-somethings, the millennials, and the early 30-somethings are a very lonely demographic trying to figure life out. And if you could pair yourself even with someone who's 30 years younger and starting the career that you had, would you consider mentoring them? Yeah. Then what about volunteering? Traverse City is a hub for volunteers. I mean, pick your place. You can go volunteer. We talked about painting. What about teaching? NMC has the extended ed program. They're always looking for instructors who are happy to share their expertise with the community, and it's a great way for you to create a strong social connection. Also, board members. We have so many nonprofits in town that are looking for board members with an expertise that they can help guide and strategize how to lead that nonprofit.
And you can, that way you can use those skills that you've developed over the lifetime yes. of your career and pass it on.
Exactly. Yeah. You're right. And lastly, if none of this sounds fun for you, go for a hike. I mean, if you go on the
land, go take a hike.
If you go on the Land Conservancy website, you can see all the land that's been preserved and places that you can hike.
I want to be an accidental success.
I would love that for you, Ron. Yeah. You already are a success now. So what would it look like if you were an accidental success? We don't know because it would just happen.
It would just be an accident.
An accident.
I'm actually looking forward to see how that manifests.
You didn't list napping.
Well, most people do that anyway, if they're honest. I don't know if anyone needs to be told. So these are some things that you can do and ideas for you in your retirement, and just acknowledging that it is a transition, whether you're going into it and you're excited about it or you're already there and are trying to figure out what to do.
Oh, do you two do this as a team now? Do you do a more yes. fleshed out presentation?
Yes, this mm-hmm. is an actual class/workshop
that we mm-hmm. wrote. Yeah.
Like and when?
Well, we're hoping to do it in the winter because we have our retirement planning classes this fall. We have a lot going on this fall. So
you could do this winter in your new facility.
And our new facility has a classroom, Ron.
It's very exciting.
So you nailed it.
Yeah.
There you go. That's the plan. And lastly, the best tip that I got from a retiree, and she was very passionate about it. She said, "I didn't retire. I quit." She doesn't even use the word. So I want to end on that note. Maybe you should just quit.
That's it.
There you go.
Yes.
Great information. And if you would like to hear this show in its entirety or again or share it with somebody, you can do that in these times. Just have to do what?
Go to our website, proutfinancialdesign.com. We archive all of the shows, which are edited down to a podcast length. Those are also on iTunes. If you go to our website, you can sign up for the email blast. And every week I write an email to let everyone know what the show is going to be about, and I link important articles and ways to get in touch with us. Mm-hmm. If you want to meet with Heidi or Dennis, the number at our office is 947-3992. And that first meeting is no cost, no obligation. Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.